You're with Sean Jung and Where the Veil Grows Thin, an exploration of the sacred moments of our human experience in life and death, joy and sorrow, birth and end of life. It's the unscripted instant when the heart opens, the face-to-face moments with the divine.
Hi, welcome to Where the Veil Grows Thin. I often wonder if I am alone in my thoughts about things. I always wonder if it's just me or if other people have what they might fear are weird, random ways of thinking about weird, random things. It doesn't change any of the things I carry around with me, but it's always comforting to know I'm not alone. I think I've mentioned that before. Somehow knowing that there are others out there who can relate to some of the things I've maybe carried silently or have hidden away from all but the closest to me helps me feel that these podcasts are not a waste of time. And isn't it ironic that time is what I have been having weird random thoughts about? Well, today it's what I'm having weird random thoughts about. And to be honest, it's been something I have been becoming more and more acutely aware of. All this talk about how every day I wake up, I know I am one day closer to the day that I don't, isn't said lightly. I believe on some level, each one of us is aware of this. The whole premise of life being a gift and a precious opportunity, blah, 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 means we know somewhere in the recesses of our psyche that this does not last forever. One of my life's greatest gifts has been what I've been allowed to be part of the past 2 decades, and I will never recant that statement. And it's possible it has also brought with it certain burdens that someone else might not even see as burdens. But I know for me, living as closely aligned with the death trade, as Stephen Jenkinson so aptly calls it, does not always make me much fun. I'm fairly serious about stuff. Not morosely so, but in the way I see the world and in the way I see my place in it. I know it's not only what I have been privileged to do the past decades, but also my age in years. I wear being 70 proudly. I may not wear it well, but I wear it proudly. Even though technically I do not get to celebrate my 70th birthday, as I've been reminded many times by my family, until August this year. I have been telling people all year, since last August, that I am in my 70th year, because I am. And it is curiously bringing me around to an interesting relationship with time. Lately, I've become aware of finding myself trying to never waste a minute doing one thing or one task when I could be doing two. It's not wise, and it isn't safe, and it stems from knowing that it needs doing, and for some reason, I think I need to be the one to do it, and I'm running out of time. I will look at the clock and see that it's 5:45 a.m. I know there are things that need to happen. Toby needs to go outside and come back in to be fed, Toby being the sole reason I am even awake looking at a clock at 5:45 a.m. But then my brain kicks in and says, hey, just think of all the things you can get done. And I'm up and off and running. Maybe some of it is managing a household and the pressures I put on myself to have things be a certain way. And I own that. I own that I like our home to feel neat and tidy, even if to someone else it might look like a crazy chaotic mess, as long as we know where things are and as long as the toilets are clean, I can focus on other things. I've come to realize that being me makes going with the flow difficult, or being the me that gets all weird about things being a certain way. I just haven't quite mastered truly embracing shifting sands. And maybe that's what this obsession with time feels like. The sands are shifting, so I start to dance as fast as I can to avoid being swallowed by something. Because after all, I have things to do, right? Greg laughs at me if I walk around at night when we're getting ready for bed and I'm using the buzzy brush to brush my teeth, and I know that it buzzes for 2 minutes. So I start folding clothes with one hand, or loading the dishwasher, or unloading the dishwasher. I break things down into very small increments of time, and I feel compelled to make every minute matter. And every minute does matter. And not because I make it so, not because I fill every minute with busyness, but because every minute is precious. You may not be aware of this, but I am sharing some deeply personal things right now, things about myself that create vulnerability and uncertainty. Some people might say I'm putting myself out there, but it just feels right. When I am dying, I don't want to feel like I wasted any of this precious time, and I know that walking the dog at a leisurely stroll along the river, not always being in a rush, sitting down on a rock, it's not a waste of time. Doing one thing and doing it well, like brushing my teeth, and meditating on how grateful I am to have teeth to brush and a wonderful tool to brush them with, instead of wondering what else I could be doing at the same time. That is not a waste of time. Sitting on the porch swing with Greg in the calm of a late day and watching the birds as they settle in for the night, Toby resting peacefully beside us or at our feet, that is not a waste of time. Stopping mid-sentence when I am writing because a friend pops by and then joining her outside to sit on the swing set and talk about life. Stopping to say hello to neighbors who pass by when we are out doing yard work may not get the yard work done, but it isn't a waste of time. It means something far more important than a berm free of weeds. The things that truly matter are seldom the things we can show someone at the end of the day. And what matters to me may not be what matters to someone else. It's part of what makes us individually unique and special. I know these things. I have lived by these values my whole adult life. Yet of late, I find myself so aware of time being a limited commodity, and for some reason being super attached to wanting to get things done. Almost as if there is an urgency, the kind of urgency we might feel when we've been reminded of our mortality. I want to ignore things that feel like superfluous tasks, not wanting to participate in activities that don't feel like they matter or will make a difference at the end of the day. I think most of us probably feel that way sometimes, and maybe it's okay that I feel that way almost all the time. Last night, a dinner table conversation turned to a discussion about the value of community, of feeling like we are part of something bigger than just ourselves, but also something that is small enough to be tangible and identifiable. We had a young couple at the table, newly in love, new to the neighborhood, and new to the idea that being part of a neighborhood like the one we live in is meaningful and comforting. It felt magical. It felt hopeful. And it felt touching to hear those words come from them. And then, as dinner conversations at our table often do, the conversation shifted gears and we were talking about elders and how to reach out to neighbors as they lose life partners, then slowly begin to age out of their forever homes, and who should have the conversations with them about planning for end-of-life changes. Our young friend said on a recent trip home to see her family back east, she brought the subject up with her dad, and he put her off. not refusing to discuss any plans for future what-ifs, but saying dismissfully, oh, we can do that later. So next week or the week after, I'm going to share with listeners some of what I've learned about how to negotiate and navigate the road that so many people are traveling, getting their parents or elders to plan for end of life, to even have the conversation. So I hope you'll join me, especially if this is a subject that has come up in your own life. I also want to say that if there is something you want to hear more about, or something you'd like to hear explored, or some subject you see as missing in these podcasts, please be in touch at Sean@SeanJung.com. I was reminded this week that we haven't specifically touched on the unique grief of losing someone to suicide. So that will be an upcoming episode. You can also go to the website, SeanJung.com, and connect with me that way. But for now, this is Sean Jung, and thank you for joining me where the veil grows thin. Until next time, may you be well.